VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
October 24th, 2020. Yes, last weekend. Friends, thank you for joining us today. What we present for you today is so important, so relevant to the hour in which we are living. So timely, in fact, that it's almost too late. Nevertheless, the information you are about to receive both today and tomorrow here on Crosstalk, a two-part series, may in fact open our eyes to that which is before us like nothing else we have ever shared before on this program. Our guest last weekend at the VCY rally in Southeast Wisconsin was Gary Kaa. We'll take you to the stage for his introduction by Jim Schneider in just a moment, but before we do, do you have something to write with? Surely you're going to want to jot down some notes, or at least just be ready for when we share with you the information on how you can obtain a CD or DVD. Without further delay, let's go.
It's our privilege to have with us tonight Gary Kaa. We've known Gary for a number of years. Gary is the founder and director of Hope for the World. Gary is the former Europe and Middle East trade specialist for the Indiana state government. And while he was serving in that state government, he was invited to join the World Constitution and Parliament Association, one of the organizations that was involved at the very forefront of promoting the world government agenda. During the next 4 years, he obtained a lot of detailed documents as far as plans that have been underway for a long time, and that really very much demonstrated a push toward a one-world government, that it was active and it was rapidly under development. And we see so much happening in our world today pushing toward a one-world government. Even dealing with the pandemic, we need a world government solution. We've seen that happen over and over. Gary is the author of En Route to Global Occupation and also the book, The New World Religion. And tonight he's speaking on A Nation at War, The Globalist Conditioning of America. Let's welcome Gary Kaa as he comes here this evening to speak at this rally.
Good evening, everyone. What a wonderful crowd on a rather cool evening. It's good to see a crowd like this out this evening. Jim already mentioned the title of tonight's message, Nation at War, The Globalist Conditioning of America. And we have a lot of ground to cover in the next 75 minutes or so. Nothing controversial. But you know, these days, it almost doesn't matter what you speak on. It's going to be controversial in light of Scripture because of where the world is and where we stand as Christians, given the Word of God. And so we need to be bold, but always communicate in love and compassion, and remember who we're serving, right? And we need to remind ourselves constantly that Jesus is on the throne, and He is still in control. He knows everything that's happening in this world. He sees it all. And so we should never be panicked, but we should be Christ's ambassadors in this world and do what we can to stand effectively for Him. If you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to open by reading a few verses from 1 Peter chapter 1. Very appropriate for this evening to set the stage. So I'll begin reading in verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. God sometimes allows trials and persecution in our lives because it refines our faith. And it also strengthens our dependence upon Him. It brings out the genuineness of our faith. We are headed into a period of time in these last days where every one of us here tonight will go through trials of various kinds, some of them quite challenging. So we need to brace ourselves. We need to exercise great discernment as never before. And we need to walk more closely with Jesus than we ever have before. With His help, we'll be able to do all of this and remain faithful to Him no matter what comes our way. Having said this, let's go on now to consider some of the developments in our nation that are or soon will be impacting us. And I believe there are going to be some significant changes in the months and the next few years. And so we as believers need to be prepared. Early on, the UN's World Health Organization, headed by Tedros Ghebreyesus, did everything possible to downplay the severity of the coronavirus. Do you remember that back in January? It was as if it's no big deal, even though he knew what was taking place in China and that it was spreading. Well, Ghebreyesus, an Ethiopian socialist revolutionary who is a close ally of China, clearly wanted to protect China's interests. But there could be more to this story. Could it be that the World Health Organization's director actually wanted the virus to spread so that it would become a global problem requiring a global response and solution? Like other UN leaders, he is a devoted globalist who uses his position and seemingly every crisis that comes along to further the cause of world government. In order to make the argument that world government is needed to solve this situation with the coronavirus, it first had to become a global problem. And I believe there's been a lot of manipulation in the media, both early on and continuing now, driving a certain narrative. Other powerful players who are allied with Ghebreyesus and the United Nations are also using convenient health crisis opportunities to advance the One World Agenda. In October 2019, less than 2 months before the virus began in China, a globalist strategy session was held in New York City. This private meeting was called Event 201, a global pandemic exercise. This was a dress rehearsal held just weeks before the pandemic broke. The purpose of this select gathering was to game out the response to a global virus pandemic. Those who supported and attended Event 201 included the United Nations Foundation, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the World Bank, the World Economic Forum, NBC, the CIA, the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine, /Bloomberg School of Public Health, and, get this, the Chinese Center for Disease Control and Prevention. They were at this meeting in New York City just weeks before everything broke loose. What an amazing coincidence. Their goal was and is to control the entire narrative of a global pandemic from the top down. At their strategy session, they called this flooding the zone. Flooding the zone. And the idea is, if they say the same things, the same words, the same ideas, and they come at us from every direction, from university professors, from the mass media, through social media, finally, it will set up in people's minds and they'll begin to believe it and go in the direction that they want us to go in. If seeing is believing, you can still watch clips of Event 201 on YouTube. unless they've taken it down in the last few days. Another key player using the coronavirus to promote world government is Gordon Brown. He's the former British Prime Minister, but he is the current United Nations Special Envoy for Global Education. According to a March 26th article in LifeSite News, Brown has called for, and I quote him, the creation of a global government to cope with the coronavirus pandemic, end quote. Brown, who is also a member of the influential Bilderberg Group, has stated, again I quote him, I think the new world order is emerging, and with it the foundations of a new and progressive era of international cooperation, end quote. But not to be outdone, the UN Secretary General, Antonio Guterres, and Pope Francis are working side by side to advance this globalist agenda. Both of them have made numerous statements and calls regarding the coronavirus and how people should respond to it, almost always with strong overtones of moving us as a society in the direction of a global government. Guterres is the former Prime Minister of Portugal and was the Secretary General of his country's Socialist Party from 1992 to 2002. During some of those same years, from 1999 to 2005, he also served as president of the Socialist International. This is the most powerful globalist network of far-left individuals and organizations, known for promoting radical Marxist views and policies among the nations. It is considered as being the mothership of the socialist movement. Most socialist organizations in the world feed into the Socialist International. Well, today he is the UN Secretary General. That's how it works. The more socialist you are and the more effective you are in driving that narrative, you get rewarded. He's the UN Secretary General just as Ghebreyesus, who was a socialist leader, and his country is now the head of the World Health Organization. And a lot of people are not aware of the very strong socialist roots of the UN itself and the fact that they are promoting this strongly. As for Pope Francis, he has been practically idolized by UN leaders for his own socialist, globalist worldview. He's been quite open about this over the last couple of years. On September 12th, he formally announced his Global Compact on Education. You'll be hearing more about this. On Thursday, October 15th, he officially launched the promotional campaign behind the Global Compact on Education. This compact is intended to pave the way for major global changes through education.
Gary Kah's message at last weekend's VCY rally, A Nation at War, The Globalist Conditioning of America. This is Program 1 in a two-part Crosstalk series. After this short break, Gary will continue right where we left off, and we do hope that you are taking notes and even inviting your friends to listen. What about this re-education effort that is underway? It makes a one-world government presumably acceptable. Stay with us.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, many are claiming that birds are modern-day dinosaurs. Can this be true?
No, it's not, Chris. Evolutionists must have an evolutionary story that they can tell people, and this is the one that they've chosen to use this decade. But the story isn't even consistent with the facts. Even given the evolutionary interpretation of the dates of the fossils, it doesn't fit. For instance, the first bird in the fossil record is dated by evolutionary standards to be before the dinosaurs, not after. And birds are so different from dinosaurs, it simply is impossible to think that a marvelously designed bird could come from a dinosaur. They are very different. The birds were created on day 5 of creation week and dinosaurs on day 6, just like it says back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
Crosstalk on the VCY America Radio Network. Gary Kah's message last weekend at the VCY rally, A Nation at War, The Globalist Conditioning of America, is what we are presenting both today and tomorrow on this program. The information so timely, so eye-opening, we deem it imperative to get this message out. Right now, Gary is talking about worldwide re-education that is pushing us towards a one-world government, and who it is that's influencing it.
As for Pope Francis, he has been practically idolized by UN leaders for his own socialist, globalist worldview. He's been quite open about this over the last couple of years. On September 12th, he formally announced his Global Compact on Education. You'll be hearing more about this. On Thursday, October 15th, he officially launched the promotional campaign behind the Global Compact on Education. This compact is intended to pave the way for major global changes through education. The world apparently needs a little more conditioning before it will readily embrace the coming global government regime. And this Pope wants to play his part in doing what he can to make that possible. He is no doubt coordinating closely with the UN's Gordon Brown on this re-education effort. In case you're not aware of this, in February of 2019, Pope Francis gave the keynote address via telescreen at the World Government Summit in Dubai. And yes, that was the actual name of it, the World Government Summit. It used to be that they cloaked their identity and the names of the meetings. Now they're just coming out and calling it what it is, the World Government Summit. The Pope left no room for doubt that he wholeheartedly supports and is working towards the establishing of a one world government. The next World Government Summit is scheduled for November 22nd to 25th, just a few weeks from now, and will once again be held in Dubai, immediately following the G8 summit in Riyadh. A research friend sent us really an amazing article just a few weeks ago regarding Pope Francis. And I thought rather than me standing up here this evening telling you about some of the things that Francis is doing, I thought it might be more appropriate to quote a Catholic from the Fatima Center regarding some of his statements and concerns about the Pope. This article, titled Another Disastrous Initiative, the Vatican's Global Compact on Education, was published in the September 2020 issue of the Fatima Center's newsletter, and it is written by David Rodriguez. So bear in mind, again, this is written by a Catholic to Catholics. David says, in his address on September 12th, Pope Francis never mentioned the importance of Christian morality or even the virtue of religion. The only reference Francis makes to religion is the sacrilegious Abu Dhabi agreement that he signed with the Grand Imam of Al-Azhar on February 4th, 2019. The Grand Imam mentioned here is believed by many Muslims to be the top Muslim cleric in the world. And he and the Pope drafted a joint document together a couple of years back and are doing what they can to spread it around the world. And so I want to continue now with this quote. That accord presents Catholics and Muslims as believing in the same God, embraces religious indifferentism, and even erroneously claims that God wills a plurality of contradictory religions. Francis's address makes no mention of the moral evils besetting our culture of death that grossly violate the sacredness of human life and human sexuality. Instead of calling for youth to be trained in the Ten Commandments and Christian morality to combat these evils, Francis calls for a new universal solidarity and a more welcoming society, which doesn't sound bad on the surface, but those are the same terms used by socialists around the world right now, calling for a new world order. Pope Francis fails to emphasize the importance of objective and absolute truth. It is as if all previous Christian generations failed to grasp the truth, which a new fraternal humanity is just now poised to discover. As a parent, I am troubled by Pope Francis's failure to affirm the primary responsibility and inalienable right of parents to educate their children and the singular and divine role of the church in education. Instead of affirming church teachings, Francis quotes an African proverb popularized by Hillary Clinton. It takes a whole village to educate a child. This Marxist slogan, a lot of people are not aware of that, but this has been used for decades by Marxists. It seeks to justify the state's usurpation of parental rights over their natural children and the church's rights over her spiritual children. In addition to Pope Francis's address, the Vatican has issued an Instrumentum Laboris, a working document that will guide the work of the Global Compact on Education, clarifying the project, the context, the vision, and the mission. The Instrumentum Laboris mentions God and Jesus 8 times in total, but refers to fraternity, the earth, and the environment 36 times. It's very earth-centered, almost with pantheistic-like overtones. David continues to write, "Revolutionaries always seek to control the education of youth, which enables them to indoctrinate people in their formative years when they are most malleable. The goal of Pope Francis's Global Compact on Education appears to be a worldwide educational system controlled by international organizations, financed by billionaires, and directed by the global elites who promote secular humanism. The list of those who are supporting this initiative is frightening." And he goes on to list some of them. They include Jeffrey Sachs, a well-known economist and population control advocate, whose biggest financial backer is George Soros. Also, Bill Gates. I believe all of you know him. Jack Ma, spelled M-A, who happens to be China's richest man. Greta Thunberg, who's become very popular of late. UNESCO and other agencies of the United Nations. The Islamic Development Bank and the International Monetary Fund, among others. These are the groups who are coming around the Pope to help promote this global compact on education. They promote population control by abortion, contraception, and sterilization. They support all the efforts of Agenda 21, which involves invasive and tyrannical control over nearly every aspect of people's lives under the guise of protecting the environment. Lastly, they share a purely naturalistic worldview that denies supernatural grace, man's eternal destiny, and the very existence of God, the author and source of all life. Pope Francis and other church leaders are using their positions, resources, and missionary network to try to convert the children of the world to the secular humanism of those who wish to usher in a new world order under a one-world government. Truly, the errors of Russia have spread throughout the world and have infected the highest levels of the Catholic Church. I want to say it's not just the Pope as a religious leader who is promoting this agenda. There are plenty of people in Protestant circles as well, many of them in the World Council of Churches. So we need to be aware of that drive that has taken hold in many of the mainline Protestant churches. And it's all coming together. These people are pushing the same narrative, many of them well-intentioned. But beneath it all, this is rooted in things that are very evil, ultimately satanic. And Satan is a master deceiver. And none of us should think that he is not capable of deceiving any of us if we stray from the truth. So it's a wake-up call to all of us. Shifting gears a little bit, I want to talk about going cashless. On March 2nd, the World Health Organization issued a call for people to refrain from using banknotes due to the possibility of the COVID-19 virus clinging to the surface of physical money. Of course, it can live on plastic longer than on paper, but they haven't totally ruled out credit cards yet, but that will be coming next, I imagine. But they definitely want to get rid of paper currency. So, the World Health Organization is now encouraging digital and contactless point of sales as an alternative method of payment. Once a cashless system is introduced and accepted, which may be sooner than we think, humans might be prepared to finally receive the mark spoken of in the book of Revelation. This mark, which will likely be either in the form of a small chip placed under the skin or a special high-tech, visible or invisible tattoo, will be required in order for a person to legally buy or sell. If such a chip or tattoo were to be distributed as part of a mandatory vaccine necessary for mitigating the spread of a deadly disease, most people, like sheep being led to the slaughter, I believe, would accept it. A group of influential globalist partners known as the ID 2020 Alliance are racing to develop a digital ID that every human on the planet will need to do just about anything. It will eventually be a requirement. Based on the ID 2020 Alliance Manifesto, which was drafted in 2018 in partnership with the UN High Commissioner for Refugees, this coming digital ID will be touted as, quote, a fundamental and universal human right, end quote. They're going to make this so attractive, they're going to make it sound as if everyone on the planet has a right to be counted and has a right to be digitized. I believe they're going to introduce this through refugees, the poorest of the poor. That's what all the signs are indicating right now. They make it all sound so good and necessary, but it isn't. On September 19th of 2019, this elite body, consisting of government leaders, technologists, global banking reps, distinguished members of academia, UN agencies, NGOs, human relief programs, and strategic private sector companies, convened in New York City for the ID 2020 Summit to explore the potentials and challenges of digital identity. And why do they call this 2020, ID 2020? Because years ago they decided 2020 was their target year to come out with all of this, and look at everything that has happened this year.
Well, we'll stop right there for just a moment. Friends, are you taking notes? Or maybe you just joined us and we are glad that you did. We're listening to A Nation at War, The Globalist Conditioning of America, the message presented just last weekend at the VCY rally in Southeast Wisconsin with our guest speaker, Gary Kah. The push to globalism. And now this talk of going to a cashless society. So much more to come. Reminder that this is only the first of two programs, both today and tomorrow, in our efforts to get out this all-important message. It is also available on both CD and or DVD when you call our switchboard, 1-800-729-9829. These may also be obtained via the website, vcyamerica.org.
Common Core, for state-controlled public education standards, in an ongoing attempt to dumb down the American educational system, a struggle that has raged for decades. To help parents and grandparents become knowledgeable on this issue, comes the DVD, Escaping Common Core. In this presentation, you'll see how Common Core relates to previous initiatives, such as Goals 2000, No Child Left Behind, and Race to the Top. You'll learn about the influence of men like John Dewey and Horace Mann, and their impact on education today. You'll see how Common Core brainwashes children and has a deliberate push toward globalism. And you'll learn how to set your children free from the clutches of Common Core. This DVD is over 60 minutes long and is a must-see presentation. Escaping Common Core is available for a donation of $18 or more by calling VCY America at 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
A Nation at War. The Globalist Conditioning of America, a presentation at last weekend's VCY rally held in Southeast Wisconsin with speaker Gary Kaa. Today is the first of two programs spotlighting this all-important presentation, the information vital to where we are and what we are seeing or not yet seeing in our nation today. COVID-19, global governance, vaccines. We've already covered so much. But now this talk of the cashless society. Now, we're set to pick up right where we left off before the break. Gary just began talking about the World Health Organization and how they are encouraging digital and no-contact ways of sales as an alternative to cash. Gary even believes that once this conditioning takes place, the Mark of the Beast, written about in the book of Revelation, would become all the more accepted reality. Need proof? Gary is talking now about the ID 2020 Alliance.
Based on the ID 2020 Alliance Manifesto, which was drafted in 2018 in partnership with the UN High Commissioner for Refugees, this coming digital ID will be touted as, quote, a fundamental and universal human right, end quote. They're going to make this so attractive, they're going to make it sound as if everyone on the planet has a right to be counted and has a right to be digitized. I believe they're going to introduce this through refugees, the poorest of the poor. That's what all the signs are indicating right now. They make it all sound so good and necessary, but it isn't. On September 19th of 2019, this elite body, consisting of government leaders, technologists, global banking reps, distinguished members of academia, UN agencies, NGOs, human relief programs, and strategic private sector companies, convened in New York City for the ID 2020 Summit to explore the potentials and challenges of digital identity. And why did they call this 2020, ID 2020? Because years ago they decided 2020 was their target year to come out with all of this, and look at everything that has happened this year. Now, this particular summit was sponsored by the UN Office of Information Communications Technology, the UN Refugee Agency, the International Telecommunication Union, and the Danish Mission to the United Nations. So three of the four main sponsors were directly tied into the UN. This is a UN agenda coupled with thousands of other people from around the world, heavyweights, who are partnering with them. The most influential ID 2020 Alliance partners are Microsoft, Gavi, which is an acronym, G-A-V-I, that stands for the Global Alliance of Vaccines and Immunizations, which, by the way, was launched years ago with a $750 million grant from Bill Gates, from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Also, we have the Rockefeller Foundation, Accenture, the UN, and international banking leaders, as well as the World Economic Forum, which provides a special platform for launching ID 2020's programs. In fact, according to ID 2020's website, in January 2019, the Alliance launched the ID 2020 certification mark. They launched the certification mark at the World Economic Forum in Davos, in Switzerland. The World Economic Forum, which I imagine most of you have heard of that meeting, it's become a launching pad for things coming out of this group of influential alliance partners. In short, the ID 2020 certification mark is intended to further digitize global commerce and serve as a stepping stone toward a personal digital ID for every man, woman, and child. In the Alliance's own words, quote, a unique convergence of trends provides an unprecedented opportunity to make a coordinated, concerted push to provide digital ID to everyone, end quote. These trends, they reveal, include rising global connectivity, emerging technologies such as blockchain and biometrics, and the worldwide call for a new model of ID. So,
Here's the bottom line. Dedicated globalists involved in so-called solving the COVID-19 pandemic are also putting in place a one-world cashless commerce system that will include a device-free digital identification mark for every human being. The UN's world government agenda, in cooperation with its closest allies, has permeated and is driving the international response to the coronavirus. If you want to know ultimately what it's all about, that's the summary right there. Now, I want to go on a little bit of a rabbit trail, if you'll allow me to, and talk just a bit about hydroxychloroquine, which, as you know, is very controversial. The president came out in favor of it early on, and a number of people in the medical community jumped all over him, and so he backed off of that. But there are doctors around the country that have used this to effectively treat COVID patients. The key is that it's given in the first 5 to 7 days or so after the infection. If you give it to someone when they're practically on their deathbed, don't expect it to work. So what do globalists do? They sponsor studies where hydroxychloroquine is given to people that are in the latter stages, and then half of them end up dying, and they say it doesn't work. Look at all these people who are dying from it. But we're aware of one doctor in Texas who has treated over 400 people who have had COVID with hydroxychloroquine together with zinc and zithromycin, and they haven't lost one patient. So why is this being suppressed? Well, if hydroxychloroquine or other medications would in effect be a type of cure, it would ruin the narrative of the globalists who want us to believe that we are all going to have to take a mandatory vaccine to get out of this situation, and that is the only path forward to get out of this global pandemic that we are in. If that's not enough, under Section 564 of the Federal Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act, the FDA commissioner may allow unapproved medical products to be used in an emergency to diagnose, treat, or prevent serious or life-threatening diseases when there are no adequate, approved, and available alternatives. So if hydroxychloroquine becomes viewed as an available alternative, again, it dashes their narrative. So whether from a legal standpoint or purely from their overall agenda, they cannot allow this to become viewed as a cure. And so that's why it's being suppressed. I want to talk a little bit about the technological developments behind the coming vaccine or vaccines. According to researcher Parker Clawson of Harbinger's Daily, there is a close link between the pursuit of digital ID and vaccinations. Clawson writes, "With an equal drive to get everyone vaccinated, Gavi, the Global Alliance of Vaccines and Immunizations, and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation play a pivotal role in the ID 2020 Alliance's mission. At their 2019 summit, ID 2020 unveiled its latest program. It says, recognizing the opportunity for immunization to serve as a platform for digital identity, this program leverages existing vaccination and birth registration operations to offer newborns a persistent and portable biometrically linked digital identity. So basically, Bill Gates has adopted as his personal mission the task of enrolling every person on the planet in a global ID database, and vaccines are the vehicle through which this will be accomplished. That is not at all an overstatement. By the way, in 2010, Gates committed $10 billion to the World Health Organization and stated, "We must make this the decade of vaccines," end quote. That has sure happened, hasn't it? $10 billion later and 10 years later, look where we are right now with the push for a global vaccine. What many people may be unaware of is that Bill Gates has been involved in helping to fund vaccines for many years throughout Africa and India and various parts of the world. And the results have been very concerning, to say the least. Wherever Gates has been promoting and financing other vaccines,
thousands of children have either died, suffered paralysis, or been sterilized by these vaccines, especially in the sub-Saharan region of Africa, Kenya, and in India right now. There is a case before the Supreme Court of that country involving one of these vaccines. The mass media, I haven't heard one word about any of this, even though it's well documented. This information needs to go out because the same people, Gates and those surrounding him, are the drive behind much of the current vaccine effort. Not all of it, but much of it. Gates is funding, I believe, 12, helping to fund 12 different vaccines. We're aware of over 15 vaccines altogether that are in motion at some stage of development. Regarding further comments on technological developments, Clausen summarizes the Gates Foundation's involvement in pursuing special technologies for planting the universal digital ID on every person. He states, and I quote him, "Coming out of Rice University, and I would add, and MIT, there is a new technology labeled the quantum dot tattoo." I'm curious, how many of you have heard of this now? Probably about a third of you. That's good. In the last 3 months, we've begun hearing a little bit about this, and people are getting curious about it. The quantum dot tattoo. This tag consists of tiny microneedles that deliver a vaccine, dissolves the sugar-based needles, and leaves behind a mark or barcode-like tattoo. This mark leaves a record of the vaccine that had been received through an infrared-like dye pattern that can be read by a customized smartphone. It is interesting to note that this quantum dot technology was requested by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. So whether it's the technology, the vaccine, the digital ID, they're involved in all aspects of this, and it's all part of the same agenda. This next part, I debated whether I should skip over this tonight, but I've got to touch on this. You know, you might ask the question, when did the MIT team funded by Gates begin to heavily publicize their quantum dot tattoo after years of development? It just happened to be December 2019 when the virus broke in China. Then in January of 2020, 1 month later, a number of scientists supportive of Gates and what he's been up to just happened to propose tattoos to solve vaccination issues in line with the COVID outbreak. Just perfectly timed. Well, the quantum dot tattoo research for which Bill Gates provided funding is scannable via the artificial enzyme luciferase. That's the name of it, Lucifer and then A-S-E, luciferase. Let me read that again. The quantum dot tattoo research for which Bill Gates provided funding is scannable via the artificial enzyme luciferase as part of a bioluminescent mark. This tattoo, vaccine, and I believe possibly chip to go along with it, is to contain not only your medical COVID vaccine history, but also proposed digitized government currencies.
Did he just say what we think he just said? Let's pause here for just a moment. A Nation at War, the Globalist Conditioning of America. This is just part one. We'll come back after this to finish up, but God willing, have more tomorrow.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Recently, someone called into my radio show and wanted to know why I would be opposed to the mosques, because after all, they're doing great social service things in the community. They're nice people. Why are you so anti-Muslim? Well, it's a good question, actually. First of all, I'm not anti-Muslim. I have nothing but love for the Muslim people. I want to see them come to salvation in Christ alone. What I am is opposed to Islam. And Islam is based on the writings of the Quran, the Hadiths. If you read these documents, you find out real quick. They're not worshiping Allah. They're worshiping Satan. You'll find out their hatred of Christians and Jews. You'll actually find out about their call to eliminate the Christians and the Jews. You'll find out about the fact that they are fine with raping women that are not covered in a hijab. There are so many things we could say. And as to the community services, that's simply a ploy of taqiyya to convert you to Islam. For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House.
A pastor friend of mine from North Dakota contacted me a few weeks back, and he said he saw an interview online conducted with Bill Gates where he stated that he would like, along with this vaccine, to inject people with a chip so that they can be traced. And I said, can you document that? And he said, yes, I'll get the information to you. A couple days later, he calls. He said, they took it down. It's nowhere. He said, for a while, I thought I was losing my mind, so I contacted a friend who had said that they also viewed that online. And I asked him, did Gates, in fact, make that statement? And he said, yes, he did. He saw it as well. So I have to take their word for it. But that should not be a surprise, given the fact that they're promoting all of these different aspects of this push for global ID vaccination. So then, with all this information, how do we as Christians respond? Do we take the vaccine? I hear a lot of no's. Okay. I am not per se opposed to vaccines for the sake of being opposed to them. In the past, they've done some good. They've done some not so good. It depends what is in these vaccines, right, and what the purpose is behind them. However, given the history of Gates and some of the manipulation that we have seen, I can tell you for sure I will not be taking one of the vaccines sponsored by Gates. But no matter what the vaccine is, we at the very least need to know what the ingredients are. If we are Christians and our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, we have an obligation before God to know what we are taking into our bodies. And some of this information may be difficult to obtain. We're going to try to do what we can to stay on top of it and pass it along. But I can tell you for sure I'm not taking any vaccine unless I know exactly what is in it and that it's not going to have any kind of detrimental effects on my DNA or anything else. So I guess enough said on that. But just a little bit more background on the Gates family. Bill Gates' father was on the board of directors of Planned Parenthood for many years. Bill Gates himself has been very supportive of that organization. And in the past, he has made strong statements calling for the drastic reduction in the population of humans on the planet. And now we're supposed to believe that he's pouring billions of dollars into finding a vaccine that's going to save everyone's life on the planet. Now, think about this seriously, right? That something doesn't jive there. It's almost like an oxymoron. And so we have a right to be asking critical questions. We need to be very, very discerning right now. And I don't mean to stand up here and condemn anyone outright. Every person in the world has a soul, and Jesus died for all these people. And they can have eternal life if they accept him as their Savior, right? We're all on the same playing field here. But there is such a thing called evil in the world. And there are people who are manipulating us, and some of them themselves, they have fallen into the trap and have convinced themselves they're doing a good thing. And that's how Satan works. He's a master deceiver. What do these pro-UN globalist elites hope to ultimately accomplish? The answer? An anti-Christian, socialist, one-world, cashless, controlled government system. If you want to read a good description, just read Revelation chapters 13 and 14. Because what these people are working toward is exactly what the Bible describes would take place in the last days. And now we are right there. The technology is there. It's all in place. But in my opinion, a completely cashless system won't be accepted by the public until our current economic system collapses or at least falters to a large enough degree that it is deemed ineffective and out of date for today's interconnected world. Much of the sensational media coverage surrounding the coronavirus, I believe, is intended to facilitate such a transition. Think about it. Why would people embrace a new global cashless economic system if the current system is fine, if there's no reason to do it? So they have to crash the system or somehow bring it to a halt to be able to introduce the new system. And that tug of war, that's been going on for the last couple of years. So far it hasn't happened, but the economy has definitely taken a hit because of COVID. The central banks of many countries are already preparing for a switchover. Some of them have begun. The global currency, when it is finally introduced, will make use of digital technology and take the form of an electronic monetary unit. It will utilize distributed ledger crypto technology, which is readily available. Some international banks have already been using the SDR, Special Drawing Rights, digital currency for several years to settle their interbank accounts. The public version of the SDR monetary unit has been ready to go for at least 18 months. In other words, it is waiting in the wings for the right moment to be brought forth. A global economic meltdown resulting from an out-of-control health crisis would be just what the doctor ordered, so to speak. While we should continue to fervently pray for God's intervention in our nation's affairs, I believe the global establishment will do everything in their power to collapse the U.S. economy in order to usher in a mandatory vaccine and electronic currency while pinning the blame on President Donald Trump if they can do so. The forced hysteria surrounding COVID-19 is shutting down many businesses now for a second time. It is estimated that 40% of these businesses will never reopen. And two weeks ago, I saw a statistic that some experts now believe it could be 60% of these businesses will never reopen, those who are now closing for a second time. Meanwhile, diminished corporate earnings, increased trade tensions with China, and a ballooning national debt could spell disaster for our economy and stock market soon unless something changes. So we need to prepare for this possibility now while we can. As mentioned, if the powers that be succeed at sinking our economy, these powers will undoubtedly make every effort to quickly phase out the use of cash. If such a scenario plays out...
You've been listening to part one of our two-day broadcast here on Crosstalk, A Nation at War, The Globalist Conditioning of America with Gary Kah. Available on both CD or DVD when you call 1-800-729-9829 during normal business hours. You may also order online at vcyamerica.org. God willing, we'll be back with so much more tomorrow. We hope you will be as well. For Jim Schneider, I'm Dalton Windsor. Keep a song in your heart. A song of praise.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.